sorry for being so untrue. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river, as I cried a river over you. You drove me nearly out of my head, while you never shed a tear, babe.
All right. Cry me a river. The Nile is not a river in Egypt. It's such a blessing to have this opportunity to share with you guys. So many hugs, so many words of encouragement. I think that every time that happens, it takes a little bit of the nerves away. Now, usually I don't get nervous, but for some reason today, I was like, man, I was feeling a little nervous. I was like, I don't know why I'm feeling this right now, you know. But thank you guys. Thank you for your support, for your prayers, and just your words of encouragement. They always help when you try to get past a period like that. Because I always tell myself, take a deep breath. And then everything kind of settles out. So we're going to talk a little bit about denial today. And I want to open up in prayer, and then I have a little something I want you guys to do. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for another day. Lord, I thank you for just my church family here today that are here to open their hearts to receive whatever you have to say. Not what I have to say, but what you have to say, Lord, because you know how to get messages to us, Lord. We all may hear the same message, but we receive it in a different way because we all have different circumstances and different challenges that we deal with in our lives. So thank you. We thank you for showing up, Jesus. We thank you for being here. We thank you for every heart. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I had, thinking about Michael Bublé. I remember years ago, my wife and I, she got me to go to a Michael Bublé concert. Now, I didn't even know who he was. I was like, I was trying to remember. I knew I saw him on TV, but I just didn't know. I couldn't remember who he was. So her, myself, and these friends of ours went. And so the wives dragged the husband. So I'm thinking, Michael Bublé, okay, he sings like big band music, Frank Sinatra style, okay, I can deal with that. I love Frank Sinatra. And so as I'm sitting there, I see these young girls come up, and they were young, and they were sitting like on the row in front of us, and they were like so excited. They were like, hey, excited about Michael Bublé. I'm like, what has got them so excited? And I guess they thought he was cute. And then when he came out, I said, oh, it's the ears. Okay, I see what's going on here. They like his ears. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But I just thought it was so funny because I learned a lot from that concert about Michael Bublé. And then I ended up buying a CD as a result. So that song, as I was trying to figure out a song that kind of went with this theme, I could find none, so I just said, let me just get a river song. And cry me a river, why not? I thought about the Justin Timberlake version, but I think that was a little too strong. So. But anyway, it has been said that one out of every three people are either remarkably handsome and unusually bright, or incredibly beautiful and absolutely brilliant. So this is what I want us to do. So we can find out who that one in three people are. I'd like you guys to turn to the person on your left. Turn to the person on your left, on your left, on your left. Look at them real good. Now turn to the person on your right. Look at them real good. And I think you'll agree with me that it isn't neither one of them. So that means there's one person left. It's you. Not me, it's you. And I believe that as we take the steps to come out of denial, that we'll begin to see ourselves in that light, that we are that one out of three that are that have at least some of those assets, you know. So let's look at our first, I want to look at the definition of denial. I think I gave it to Joe. Yes, I did. I gave it to Joe. So I have to remember what I gave him. So denial is a failure to acknowledge an unacceptable truth or emotion or to admit it into consciousness. Refusing to admit the truth or reality of something unpleasant. And that's what denial is. So a lot of times our experiences in life allow us to go into this place where we go into denial about what we've experienced. I shared with you guys before that one day I was at a networking event, and this particular networking event was a great event that I'd gone to several times, and people would open up about things in their life that, and I thought it was really unusual considering it wasn't like a church group, or I was really surprised at how these successful business people would talk about troubled issues in their life and how they dealt with these things. And, you know, I had a moment where I didn't know what I was going to say, but then I began to talk about my experience, you know, in my life. And as a result, I realized that I had been, you know, for the longest time just blocking out some things. And I was like, wow, you know. But I was in denial. I was in denial. I blocked out some experiences in my life and didn't talk about them. And that's where CR came into my life and began to change the way I viewed different things. Let's look at our first thing in your notes there. Number one, it says, to endure in this race, we have to face it. So we have to face it. When we deal with these issues in our lives, we have to face them. Hebrews 12:1 in your notes says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I've always thought about this great cloud of witnesses, and I realized that it's not really talking about people that are cheering us on that are, I mean, I'm sure they would be if they're able to, I don't know what goes on. I don't know if they're in heaven now cheering us on or not. I don't know. But what I believe this verse is telling us is that there have been people that have set the example for us. They have paved the way for us. They showed us how to do it. And if we can look at their experiences in life, we can apply those experiences to our life. And so as a result, we want to lay aside those weights and sin. Because if you have weight, think about it. If you're running a race, I don't ever see someone in the Olympics running a marathon with a weight jacket on. No one would do that, a weight jacket, because that would take away your energy and your strength. And sometimes in life, if we carry weights with us, we carry weights and we have concerns about sins that we've done or that others have done to us that we carry with us day after day. And those things keep us from running this race with endurance. We need to be able to be free from that so that we can finish the race that Jesus has for us. Just in thinking about the letter of the Hebrews, this letter was written as a way to reaffirm our confidence in God. And so that's what we got to turn to. We got to put confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Isaiah. Now, this isn't in your notes. I had Joe put this up there because this is a long verse, and Karen would have been, I think she would have tried to kill me. She would have said, what are you doing to me? But in Isaiah 43:15, it says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. That part really stood out to me, that he said, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. He was the king of Israel. He wanted them to see that. And he said, I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses, and I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But then he says this, but forget all that. And I thought, wow. I mean, that really stood out to me. He said, forget all that. So, in other words, God was saying, I did these great things, but I don't want you to think about them anymore. I don't want you to think about it anymore, because he said, it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. And see, sometimes when I think about the weights and the sins that weigh us down and that those things we carry every day, in the same way, we need to put them off and forget all that. Forget all that, because God is going to do something new. He says, "For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, and the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed." Now, let me give you a little background about this. What was happening in the life of Israel at this time, they were captive to the Babylonians. And so they had, God was encouraging them. He wanted them to understand what he had done, because sometimes, and we go through this, you know, it's really funny how we go through this in our lives. God can do something for us, but yet when we get to the next thing, we almost forget what he did. You know, so sometimes we need to remind ourselves, but then at the same time, we need to let go and know that he's going to do something. We got to believe that he's going to do something new in our lives. And that's what was happening in the lives of Israel at this point. He wanted them to be encouraged of what he's going to do. And only God can make a pathway through the wilderness. And he can create rivers and dry wastelands. Only God can do that. And I believe that he can do that in our lives, in places where we don't know or we're not sure about. He can make a way and do things in our lives. Sometimes when I experience challenges, you know, I don't get too overworked about it. And my goal is to see, where is God in this? What is he doing in this situation? Because a lot of times he's up to something. And I'm not thinking about it for anybody else but me. So, Lord, what are you doing in my life in this situation? You know, what's happening? And I expect that at some point he's going to open my eyes to it. So let's look at number two on our notes here. Now, one of the things one of the questions I have is, how do we lay aside or come out of this denial? And number two really answers that. Number two says, Jesus has made it possible for me to realize I am not God. I am not God. And that's something to think about. I remember, and this is something that we talk about in Celebrate Recovery. Now, if you guys wonder, I'm going to talk a lot about Celebrate Recovery while I'm up here. I'm just letting you know. But in Celebrate Recovery, we talk about this. You know, I'm not God. And I remember when I first went to Celebrate Recovery and I heard that, I thought that was kind of an interesting statement, because I knew I wasn't God. But I was like, what are they talking about? But then I began to realize in my life that there were things that I did where I was acting like God in my life. I was making decisions and making choices and doing different things. And so I was being God in my life. I was being God. And so God, he wants us to recognize that he is God. And if we recognize that he is God, then he can do so much more in our lives. It's so much more he can do. Because every time I play God, it doesn't work, right? You guys agree with that? It doesn't work. When I try to be God, things just fall apart. And I think, man, what happened? And then God said, okay, see, if you just move over, kind of get off the throne, let me take care of it. And I'm like, oh, I got it. In Hebrews 2:2, it says, looking to Jesus. So that's what he's telling us to do. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So that's what we need to do. Look to Jesus. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6, this is a scripture. I remind myself of this verse daily, because this is really what it comes down to. It says, trust in the Lord. Everybody's familiar with this verse, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And so I always think about this, because I lean on my own understanding a lot. And that's in those moments when I'm leaning, where I'm being God in my life, when I'm leaning to my own understanding. I figure, even though, you know, sometimes I might have a good idea, but I realize if I acknowledge God some kind of way, I invite him in to that situation, and he could do a little something extra that I can't do. You guys believe that? Yeah. That God can do a little something extra we can't do. So I try to acknowledge him. And I find myself a lot of times just repenting, like, Lord, forgive me, because I did not acknowledge you in this. Because if I acknowledged you, I believe something would have worked out differently. But I check myself. You know, I have a time where I examine myself, and I can tell you, I fall short a lot of times, almost daily on this. But again, I have to remind myself in this scripture what it says, not to lean to my own understanding. Whether you believe it or not, we all fail at this. We all play God at times in our lives, sometimes every day. When we bring this realization to consciousness, like the definition was talking about, it's like a burden being lifted, because we weren't meant to carry the burden of God. You know, we weren't meant to do that. But when we realize I'm not God, and we're able to just let it go, it's like a burden gets lifted off you. And that's when you start to experience that freedom and you put God in his rightful place in your life. Number three says, because of Jesus, we can admit our powerlessness. Because of Jesus, we can admit our powerlessness. Now, you know, when I got to this part thinking about powerlessness, it's something that in our lives, so much we experience things being out of control in our lives. And we have to come to a place where it's like, Jesus, I can't do this. I don't know about you guys, but have you guys ever had a struggle? Some of you may be struggling with something right now that is constant, and you can't seem to change it. And that's where you got to surrender. And that's where I've come to the place where I got to surrender. Powerlessness. Did I give you the definition for powerlessness, Joe? I did. Good. So powerlessness, without ability, influence, or power. Without ability, influence, or power. So it's getting to a place where we don't have the ability anymore, Jesus. You know, we don't have the influence to make this happen. And we definitely don't have the power. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. So basically, Jesus is showing us, and this is the interesting thing, he's such an example of this, because, I mean, it wasn't that Jesus was powerless, you know, in dealing with challenges in his life, but he made himself powerless. And he's trying to explain to us how this works. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And one of the great thoughts about this is when you read the part about emptying himself and humbled himself, he allowed himself to be without power. He allowed himself to be without power so that God the Father can work through him. And he set that example for us in that way. When we come to a place, but see, our issue is that sometimes we don't recognize that we are powerless. We think we have the power. And we try to, you know, like say, white knuckle it. We grab on until everything, the blood leaves our hands, and we think we got this. But Jesus wants us to let go. Let go. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through us in the various challenges that we face every day. When we recognize our powerlessness, each area of our struggle can become more and more Jesus in every way. He begins to invade those areas and gives us the grace. I talk about this a lot. I've told my wife, but I know I talk about it at the mission, and I probably have said it here before, or maybe that was at Celebrate Recovery. But, you know, how many of you guys drive in traffic? every day. You're driving traffic every day. You know, one of the things, well, before I even get into that, I kind of wanted the guys to tell you this. I have a great relationship with my car. My car, I tease my wife about this all the time, because every time I walk out the house, my car, as soon as I walk up to it, the mirrors go out, the lights flicker, so it's like my car has a relationship with me. It's saying, yeah, let's go, you know? And so I even called it a her, and I gave her a name. My wife asked me, she said, did you give your car? I didn't even tell her this yet. She said, did you give your car a name yet? I was like, well, so the first time, because it's a black car, I said Midnight, so I just decided to make it short, Midi. You know, just call her Midi. And I don't know, my wife may not like that one, but she gets excited whenever I come out. I laugh about it. I tease all the time, even my kids. I'll say, look at my car, is getting excited, I'm here. But the truth is, I just have the keys on me. But I like that. But you know what? It's getting to the point in life where our cars may talk to us one day. You know, my car talks to me. You know, when I drive, if I get too close to another car, this caution comes on, beep, 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 beep. And so I find it a challenge every day to drive and not have the caution come up. This morning, on my way to church, I had two cautions. One of them I don't agree with her on. I want to tell her, I said, we need to watch the replay on that one, because there was no reason for that caution. I told her that. I said, that's not going to work, you know. But one of them, I was like, okay, you got me on that one. I was going over a bump. Okay, all right. But anyway, so sometimes when I'm in traffic on the freeway, one of the things that I really, God deals with my heart on, is to be kind. You know, to be kind to people on the freeway, because I don't want to be a source of someone having a bad, or starting a bad with a bad day. You know, sometimes you do something, like this is one of the things, like I was telling the guys at the mission about this. You know how when you're on a freeway and somebody wants to get in, they want to try to get in front, and sometimes you speed up because you don't want them to? God deals with me on that. He says, what is wrong? He said, why is that such a big deal to you? Just let the person in. But then people do that to me too. But then I have to, again, God looks at me. So if they do that to me, okay, that's fine. Let's move on to the next thing. And I'll get in somewhere. But I'm trying to, God's been working with me on changing my attitude. I used to be a lot worse, guys, believe me. I was a lot worse. I've come a long way on this. And I don't give people dirty looks anymore. I gave that up. But I tried. That's the thing that God works with me on being more kind. Because that's what it says in the scriptures, that we should be kind to one another. So I want to be kind. And so I'm trying to check the areas where I'm not being kind, Lord, because I want to be kind. I don't want to create issues for people, you know. But some things you can't avoid, you know. Sometimes it happens and you go, you know, because we're not perfect. We can't be perfect, so we're going to mess up. And we have to be able to acknowledge where we mess up. Okay, so in number four says, Jesus knows how we feel, so don't give up. Jesus knows how we feel, so don't give up. Hebrews 12:3 says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. He did that so we may not grow weary and faint-hearted. Jesus, the hostility, I mean, he's setting an example for us, the hostility that he endured from people, from sinners. And sometimes we go through that, but he doesn't want us to give up. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now when we think about that verse, we think about it from the perspective of us making Jesus the Lord and Savior of our lives. We recognize, you guys wouldn't be in this room right now. I would say most people that are in this room wouldn't be here if you didn't recognize that you needed him, that you were poor in spirit and that you needed him. But we also need to recognize that just in our lives every day. Although our salvation is taken care of, there's a walk that we have to live out. And we have to continually recognize our need for him in various ways throughout the day, because sometimes it's easy, because of this sin nature that we have, to think we can do it ourselves. But we need to recognize our need for him throughout the day. I need you, Jesus. I need you, because you know, otherwise I will act out. You know, somebody might get the wrong side of me and it'd be all over. So I need you, Jesus. You guys know what I'm talking about. Okay, number five. Number five, it says, Jesus is our tag team partner. Now, I like this because, you know, when I was younger and I was quite a wrestling fan, you know, I recently, maybe a month ago, I took my grandson to a wrestling match. He wanted to go to a wrestling match. And, you know, it kind of bores me now, you know, when I sit there. I probably almost fell asleep, but I didn't want him to see that. Is he here? He's not here. Okay. So I didn't want him to see. I was sitting there like, it just takes so long for them to videotape these. What you see on TV is the finished product, but the actual show is, oh, my goodness. Any wrestling fans in here? I don't want to spoil this for you guys. But sometimes I was just, you know, I felt like I wanted to go to sleep. But I thought about, you know, in a wrestling match, sometimes there will be one guy gets in the ring, and next thing you know, they have faces and they have heels. That's the language that they use. So the face is usually the good guy. The heel is the bad guy. So if there's a match between those two, usually the bad guys break the rules. You know, they do everything against the rules. And so sometimes they get in there and they start double teaming one guy. And the referee's over there stopping the other good guy from coming in the ring, which doesn't make sense. It seems like the referee's working with him or something. And he's trying to stop him. And all this distraction is taking place. And then one guy is getting beat up. And when the guy is like so down, and he, you know, and this is just so common in wrestling, they start to crawl back to the corner. And they try to crawl back. And then they get there and they reach out and they finger tag their partner, and he comes in super energy, starts knocking both of the guys out, and you know, it's just a common thing that they do. But Jesus is that guy for us when we feel like we're trying to crawl to get. We can tag him and he can jump in there for us, and he can handle our adversaries when they're trying to beat us up. So he's our tag team partner. And Hebrews 12:4 says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. So we haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood. Jesus has. He shed his blood for us. So that's why we have him who has done it. And he can be that strength that we need. So let's tag him in those moments where we're struggling. Tag Jesus in. We need to. Romans chapter 7. I don't know if that's in your notes, but Romans chapter 7. Verse 18 and 20, it says, and I know that nothing good lives in me. Nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And see, that's why we need to tag Jesus in, because we have this nature that gets out of control in us. And we say things to people that we shouldn't say. We hurt people, you know, and various things like that. So we got to tag Jesus in those moments. You know, we got to recognize that, hey, you know, if we don't come clean on those things, then we're in denial. So the point is to bring it out. Bring it out. Let's talk about this. You know, sometimes you got to tag Jesus in when you're by yourself, so then when you meet with a person, you can work it out. So, but I love this verse because, in the funny thing about this verse is this is Paul. You know, Apostle Paul, you know, we see him as a great man. He gave his life, but this, he struggled. He struggled. So we struggle. And then in verse 24 and 25, this is what he says. This is totally identifies it. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Oh, what a miserable person I am. We can identify with that. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Here's the answer. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And that's our struggle all the time, is that slavery to sin. Sin controls us if we allow it. And that's why we need to come out of denial and admit we're not God. You know, hey, admit our powerlessness and let Jesus step in. Now, what I want to share with you guys, and this is straight from CR right here. I want to share with you the effects of denial. The effects of denial. And the first part of it is D. It disables our feelings. Denial disables our feelings. Hiding our feelings and living in denial freezes our emotions and binds us. Understanding our feelings is where we find freedom. And I didn't shoot Joe this verse or even Karen, but in 2 Peter 2:19 it says, they promise freedom, but by themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. You're a slave to whatever controls you. And that's something to think about. I had a talk with the guys at the mission not too long ago. I've been doing what we call general session. I was supposed to do it for 4 weeks, but then the group that was going to take over after me weren't ready, so I had to do it for 4 more weeks. And but originally, I was okay with that because last year I had to do it for 12 weeks. So I was prepared. I just had to kind of revise my notes a little bit. But one of the things I was sharing with them is how whoever you yield yourself a servant to obey, his servant you become. I mean, and that's I think spoken in Romans. But just how you're either going to be a slave to sin, or you're going to be a slave to obedience unto righteousness. So as we make that choice to obey God, we become more of a slave to righteousness. That means that we desire it more. We want to go after it more when we obey God. But if we go after sin, then we want to sin more. It just kind of drags you that way, you know. But, you know, thank God that for Jesus, because he helps us deal with that, right? Okay, the next one is E. It's energy lost. Energy lost. A major side effect of denial is anxiety. Anxiety causes us to waste precious energy dealing with our past hurts and failures for fear of the future. What we have come to realize, it's only in the present that positive change can occur. It's only in the present. I was reading this devotional this week. I read a devotional. I have it sent to my phone. And one of the things that really spoke to me about this was a devotional about forgiveness. And I'm just going to read a few parts of it to you because they really stood out to me. It says, when we continually reflect on how wrong an action was, our thoughts act as a blockade between our hearts and God's heavenly compassion. And when John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. So God forgives us because he loves us. He forgives us because he loves us, not because our actions are ever worthy of forgiveness. He forgives us because he values restored relationships with us over our sins. He forgives us because he is filled with love for us, not because of our acts of confession demand forgiveness from him. So this is where God's base is for forgiveness. And he wants us to follow in this same way. I mean, the example of that was with Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. I mean, we've probably had situations in our lives, if we really think about it, where we've denied Jesus. You know, in a situation where we probably needed to represent and we didn't. I mean, I've had situations like that. And but yet you feel bad, you know, because when you're in a situation like that, man, you feel like you failed God. You know, but God knew you were gonna fail. He knew that. And so what happens, we kind of pull ourselves away, and we'll kind of get more into that as we go through this. We call these acrostics, by the way. I want you guys to know in Celebrate Recovery. So but we sin against God, or when we sin against God, he offers forgiveness that we might receive the full depths of his love again. So the next one is N. I want to get through this because I know I only got probably about 5 minutes left. N is it negates growth. negates growth. We are as sick as our secrets. This is a saying that we have in Celebrate Recovery, just so we know. We are as sick as our secrets. And we can't grow unless we're willing to step out of denial into the light. Step out of denial into the light. In John 8:12, it says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. You know, an example, I know a young lady right now, and I'm trying to say this in a way because I don't want her to ever hear that I'm saying this, but she's struggling with her faith. She's struggling with her faith. She's not sure if she believes that Jesus is who he says he is. Now, she was raised in a Christian home. Sometimes she'll tell me about someone that annoys her, and I'll ask her, are you praying for that person? And she'll say no. But she needs to come to the light. You know, I didn't know when I first asked her that she was saying no because she was struggling with her faith. But it's a tough thing, you know, for young people today. I mean, she's a young person, and I thought, wow, you know, but that's the challenge the world puts out. It tries to, her experiences in life got her to the point where she started doubting Jesus. And so, you know, I pray for her, you know, that she makes that connection because she's raised in a Christian home. Jesus is waiting to take our hand and bring us out. Are we willing to take his? So when we deal with denial, are we willing to take his? And then we have I. It isolates us from God. Isolates us from God. Denial isolates us from God. And I was kind of almost going into that earlier. Think about Adam and Eve. And this is a great way to explain this. When God created them, they didn't have a sin nature. This is very interesting when you think about it. They didn't have a sin nature. So Adam and Eve, they had no evil, judgmental, lustful, vengeful, selfish, suspicious, unforgiving, hateful, or ungodly thoughts. They had none of that. But then sin came in through disobedience. And as a result, we all have that, you know. We struggle with those things now because of that decision. They didn't know all that time. They didn't know they were naked until sin came in. So then as a result, they reacted the way a lot of us may react. They began to blame. So Adam, when God confronted him, he blamed God and Eve. When God confronted Eve, she blamed the snake. When God confronted the snake had nobody to blame, so God just laid down a law with him and then worked his way back. But so coming out of denial will help us change from our feelings of isolation. So we got to come out. We got to come out. We have two more. A, it alienates us from relationships. Denial not only isolates us from God, but alienates us from relationships. We dare not reveal. And this is one of the things that I struggled with, you know, to reveal our true selves because we are afraid of what others may think or say. So as a result, we alienate relationships. We alienate ourselves from great opportunities to build great relationships with people. I mean, one of the worst things, I mean, we can do is just to have surface relationships because it really doesn't, you really doesn't do anything. I mean, you want to be able to have some depth in your relationship, be able to trust, be able to feel safe, you know, that if you share something with somebody, they're not going to turn around and tell the world. You know, we want to create that safe environment. A scripture I have for that was Ephesians 4:25, but you guys can look that up later on, okay? So finally, there's L, which is lengthens the pain. Denial doesn't protect us from pain, but allows our pain to fester and grow. It turns to guilt and shame, and it extends or lengthens the hurt. This is one of the biggest struggles we have as Jesus followers, and we allow hurt to fester. So we say, I'll let it go when I'm ready, but as a result, the pain gets worse, and we can't move forward in our relationship with Jesus and with others. So we have to let that hurt go. We can't allow it to fester inside of us. We have to talk about it. We have to get it out. We have to go to someone that we feel safe with and be able to share those things. But I struggled with that for a long time, and it wasn't until I went to Celebrate Recovery that I really experienced for the first time in my life being able to talk about things that were weighing on me for years because I didn't trust anybody to share it. I think probably the only person that I did trust was my wife. I could share things with her, and that was a test because I was like, okay, is she going to be? Because you never know, man. She might say, you know, you crazy. I need to get up out of here, you know. But you know, I thank God, you know, for being a part of Celebrate Recovery. I thank God for my accountability team that I'm able to talk to about things like that. One of the things in John 8, 31 through 38, Jesus said, he said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. And if you will know, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's what we need to do. We need to abide in his word. There's so much I can read about that, but let's step out of denial and into Jesus' love and grace so that we can be healed and experience restored relationship with God and with others. Celebrate Recovery is a great place to start. And if you have any questions about it, you can feel free at any point to come and talk to me about it or anyone on our team. We would love to have you come, and we would love to be a part. I mean, we're not there. We're not fixers. We're not, you know, licensed counselors. But see, Jesus does it. All Celebrate Recovery does, it helps you to come out of denial, walk through these steps, and connect with Jesus. That's the key thing that we want, is to connect with Jesus. And it's a great opportunity because that's what it's all about, getting connected and closer to him, and then being able to serve and build relationship with others. Okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, you're so good. You're so compassionate. You're so loving. And we want to give you praise and honor for being our God, our King, and our Lord. Thank you for each and every heart. And we ask that you bless them as they go forward. Though we know not what we will face in the time ahead, but we know that you are with us. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us, and that you will be with us till the end of the age. And so we thank you for that, Jesus. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Cry the horn.